Please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, and once again we want to read the first three verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. This morning we pointed out from these verses that the Christian race must be run with patience. And as we examine these verses, we see that three guidelines are revealed that will help us to accomplish that goal. For one thing, we're to receive encouragement from that great cloud of witnesses that we read about in chapter 11. Those men and women of faith from the Old Testament, they ran their races with patience, and we're able to receive a great amount of encouragement from them. But then also another guideline is that we're to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Anything that would hinder us from running the Christian race with patience is to be eliminated. And then finally, the third guideline is that we're to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. We're to remember what he went through and how he ran his race with patience. As he said on the cross, "It is finished." The Lord completed his race, and he did so with patience. Did you notice in that song that we were singing just a few moments ago, I believe it's the third verse, that talks about Jesus being patient and brave? Well, that's a beautiful song, "Oh, to be like thee." I believe it's a very beautiful song, and we need to sing it on a regular basis and concentrate on the words. Well, Jesus was patient, and we're to keep our eyes focused on him. So from these few verses, we're able to reach a conclusion about patience. We conclude that patience is an important virtue that deserves our careful attention. Since we're to run the Christian race with patience, that one principle leads us to believe that patience is a matter of utmost importance. So in our lesson this evening, for a little while, we want to study a number of passages that teach us about patience. Well, in our study of patience, we first need to understand what it is. If we're going to talk about something, we need to know what we're talking about. As you examine the Bible, though, you will see that there are several words that are actually translated patience. And there are some slight differences in meaning. We need to understand this. One word that is often translated patience can also be translated long-suffering. That's an expression that's used many times in the Bible. That's the particular spirit that we're to have while we are going through periods of waiting. Sometimes we face situations that require us to wait, and as we do so, we need to be long-suffering. Sometimes that same word that is translated long-suffering is translated patience. Well, that kind of patience is illustrated by the farmer mentioned in James chapter 5 and verse 7. James 5 and verse 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman," or the farmer, "waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." The farmer stands out as an example of one who is long-suffering. He has long patience. He prepares the soil. He plants the seed. But then he has to wait. He hopes to receive the rain in due season. and he's looking forward to reaping a great harvest. But after all the effort that he puts forth, he has to exercise some patience. That's one word that is often translated patience. In my judgment, it might better be translated long-suffering, and quite often it is. But there's another word, translated patience, that can also be translated as endurance, steadfastness, or perseverance. Now, that's the type of patience that we develop as a result of going through difficulties. We're to be patient in the sense that we're to be long-suffering while we go through periods of difficulty. But then this type of patience, which might be translated better, perseverance, is developed as a result of facing difficulties. That's the kind of patience that's mentioned in James chapter 1 and verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The way that steadfastness or perseverance or endurance are developed is by facing difficulties. Well, it's interesting that Christians are to develop both types of patience. Christians are to exercise both types of patience. Well, I believe we understand what patience is. That being the case, let's consider two reasons why it's necessary for us to exercise patience. The first reason is that the Bible teaches us over and over and over again to be patient. Now, if the Bible just contained one passage telling us to be patient, that ought to be sufficient. But when the Bible tells us over and over and over again to be patient, it just seems that special attention is being placed on that matter. Maybe the Lord knew in advance that we'd need some extra instruction on this matter. Well, let's consider several verses very quickly. Luke chapter 21 and verse 19. Luke chapter 21 and verse 19. Jesus said, "In your patience possess ye your souls." Romans 12 and verse 12. Romans 12 and verse 12 says, "Be patient in tribulation." Now, in the context, a number of brief admonitions are being given to us. One of them is to be patient in tribulation. In Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is listed. There are nine characteristics that collectively are called the fruit of the Spirit. One of them is long-suffering. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14 says, "Be patient toward all men." Now, that can be a challenge because it's easy to be patient toward some people, but others, it's not so easy. But as we just read, the Bible says be patient toward all men, doesn't it? And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, seven graces are listed. We call them the Christian graces. One of them is patience. And Peter began by saying that we're to give all diligence to add these graces to our lives. Well, these are five passages that we just mentioned very briefly, which show that the Lord wants his people to develop patience, and he wants us to exercise patience. So one reason why we're to develop and exercise patience is that the Bible teaches us over and over again to be patient. I can remember sometimes when I would ask my mother why it was necessary for me to do something, and her response was, "Because I said so." And you know what? That settled the matter. So I was taught that from the time I was just a kid. Well, when God tells us in His Word what He wants, well, we need to listen and we need to comply. So the Bible teaches us many times to exercise patience, to develop patience. But there's another reason why we need to give careful attention to being patient. And that is the Scriptures show us how patience will help us. We're able to receive a number of benefits from being patient. I don't know if we've emphasized this as much as we need to, but when we realize that something will help us, that ought to motivate us to want to give careful attention to it, whatever it is. Well, there are some benefits to being patient. Let me try to illustrate that to you. I can remember several years ago when one Wednesday afternoon, I was just about to get ready to come to Bible study. There was a knock on my front door. I went to the door, and it was one of my neighbors. She's a single mother at that time of two teenage boys, and we thought a lot of her and thought a lot of her boys. She's a very good neighbor. But when I entered the door, that poor woman had steam coming out of her ears. She was highly upset. And my first thought was, I haven't even seen her lately. She can't be upset at me, but she was upset at something. And she finally calmed down enough to tell me what was going on. She's a very independent person, and I admire that about her. She wanted to replace the fixture in her kitchen. She bought a real nice one. She watched a couple of videos and was convinced that she was going to be able to take care of that. She went to the store, and somebody sold her a bunch of tools. So she bought an expensive fixture, she bought some expensive tools, and she was all ready to be a plumber. Well, she got started and broke the thing, and she lost it. What the people at the store forgot to tell her was, you got to be patient. And she said, could you take care of that for me? I said, not today, but I said, I can tomorrow. She said, that will be fine. She said, the boys and I will eat out tonight. I said, be sure that you have the shutoff valve turned off so there won't be any problem. I said, I'll take care of it tomorrow. Well, sure enough, she had broken it. And it was just an innocent thing to do. Could happen to anybody. Well, I thought it was interesting that when she went to the video on the internet and when she went to the store, somebody forgot to tell her that she was going to have an extra measure of patience. It would have benefited her greatly. And that's the point that I want to make from that illustration. There are benefits to being patient. The other day I was reading about Moses. And I've always admired Moses. He was a great leader of the children of Israel. But there was a time when the people were murmuring because they needed water that Moses lost it. God told him to speak to the rock, and he struck the rock. Moses is described as being a very meek man. I experienced long ago that meekness and patience often go together. So Moses was a very meek man. He was also a very patient man. But you know, if a man like Moses could lose his patience, it can happen to anybody. Well, losing his patience kept him out of the promised land. I've always thought that was very sad. But you see, when he disobeyed God, God took it personally, and he considered that to be rebellion. Moses did not sanctify God in the eyes of the people. You see, there were others who were witnessing what took place. And his lack of patience caused God to be upset. And God would not allow him to go into the promised land. Well, there are benefits to being patient. Let's mention a few of them. Now, this is one reason why it's so important for us to develop patience and to exercise patience. For one thing, patience will help us in bearing fruit. Now, Jesus talked about the importance of bearing fruit in John 15 in verse 8. He said that bearing fruit glorifies the Father. But I want you to notice what will help us in bearing fruit. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Now, he's explaining the parable of the sower. And he's talking about the good seed. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, now notice this, and bring forth fruit with patience. That's a very important benefit associated with patience. It will help us in bearing fruit. And Jesus, of course, indicated that bearing fruit is a matter of utmost importance. It glorifies the Father. Another benefit is that patience will help us while we wait to receive God's promise. Let's look at Hebrews 10 and read verse 36. Hebrews 10 and verse 36 says, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Patience will help us while we wait to receive the promise of God. Now, that particular point is also illustrated by Father Abraham. Let's go back a few chapters to Hebrews 6 and read verse 15. If you look at the context, the writer was talking about Abraham. But in verse 15 of chapter 6, he said, "And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Patience will help us while we wait to receive the promise of God. Now, Abraham stands out as a great man of faith, but he was a patient man as well. Do you remember how old he was when God said that he was going to be the father of a great nation? 75 years old. He waited a long time for Isaac to be born. Isaac was finally born when Abraham was 100 years old. Was Abraham a patient man? Yes. Even as faithful as he was, there were times when he questioned God about when was he going to keep his word. He knew that God would keep his word. But there were several times when he even wondered, when was this promise going to come to pass? But Abraham had patience. And after he patiently endured, I've always thought that was an interesting expression. He patiently endured, and after doing so, he obtained the promise. I would love to have been there to see the expression on Abraham's face when Isaac was finally born. That would have been a sight to behold. You know he was a happy man. Another benefit associated with patience is that it will help us to avoid falling away. Now, we mentioned the fact from 2 Peter chapter 1 that patience is one of the Christian graces. There are seven of them. But let's consider the benefit associated with all of the graces, including patience. 2 Peter 1, verse 8. Now, in verses 5, 6, and 7, the graces are listed. And we're told to develop them with all diligence. What's the benefit? Verse 8 says, "For if these things, speaking of the seven graces, be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, referring to those seven graces, what's the benefit? Ye shall never fall." Now, there are seven of them, but patience is included. We're not to take out one and overlook the others, or pick out the ones that we like and discard the others. We're to take all of them. But there are benefits associated with being patient. Patience will help us to avoid falling away. And there's one other benefit that we want to mention very briefly, and David touched on it in Psalm 40 and verse 1. Patience will help us when we pray. Psalm 40 and verse 1. David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." Patience will help us when we pray. Now, there are many conditions for acceptable prayer. We're to pray believing. We're to pray in the name of the Lord. We're to be in Christ, and his words are to abide in us. There are many conditions that are given to us. But one condition is that we're to pray for the Lord's will to be done. That requires patience. So that's a very important benefit associated with patience. It will help us when we pray. So these are two reasons why we need to give careful attention to developing patience and exercising patience. For one thing, the Bible teaches us over and over again to be patient. And for another thing, the Bible shows how patience will help us tremendously. Well, let's examine for a few moments how patience is developed. Let's look at James 1 once again. And this is something we like to touch on from time to time because it's very important. When we face trials, and we all do, when we face trials, we must ask for wisdom. Verses 5 and 6 of James chapter 1. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed." So when we face trials, and as I said, we all do, we must ask for wisdom. Now, the wisdom under consideration is from God. That's why we're to ask him for it. And it's described for us in James 3 and verse 17. James 3 and verse 17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Now, that's a description of the wisdom that God provides. Specifically in chapter 1, James is teaching us that when we face difficulties, if we lack wisdom concerning how to face that difficulty, James says, ask God for it. What's the end result? We've already shown that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So let's be sure that we see things in the proper order. When we face difficulties, we're to ask God for wisdom. and we're to do so in faith, and He'll bless us. We can use that wisdom to face those trials with the proper attitude and the right disposition, and the end result will be that we develop patience. And you know, we need to think that someone is observing our behavior. Someone is observing our behavior when we demonstrate patience as well as when we fail to. So we have an opportunity to influence others for good when we're being patient. So, one thing that will help us to develop patience is to ask for wisdom. Another matter is touched on in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, which you understand that this chapter is the great love chapter of the Bible. Well, we have to develop the right kind of love. Now, you might be thinking, Raymond, are you talking about love or are you talking about patience? Well, let's notice one characteristic of true Christian love. In verses 4, 5, 6, and 7 of 1 Corinthians 13, there's a description given to us of true Christian love. We talked about these things last Sunday morning. There are 15 characteristics listed. 8 are negative. 7 are positive. I want you to notice in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13 that love suffereth long. Love is patient. Now, what do we conclude from that? We've already pointed out from James chapter 1 that we're to ask God for wisdom, but we also need to be sure that we've developed the right kind of love, because love is patient. It suffers long. Something else that will help us is to look at positive role models. Hebrews 2, verses 2 and 3 teach us to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. He demonstrated great patience, and I never cease to be amazed how the Lord withstood all the evil treatment that He faced without ever responding. You know, some of the things that could be said, I can maybe understand how that could be disregarded. It would be a trial, but a physical assault could be withstood. I'm talking about striking with the hand and so forth. But when that person spit on the Lord, I don't know about you, but that would have done it for me. The Lord took that. Do you understand why the writer of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame? And then verse 3 tells us to consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest we be weary and faint in our own minds. Our Lord set the great example. That's why we need to keep our eyes focused on Him. I think we were singing about this just a little while ago, weren't we? Well, let's consider some other human beings. Now, we know that Jesus was a man just like we are, but He's also the Son of God. Let's consider some other men who were not divine. The prophets are mentioned in James 5 in verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. The Old Testament prophets were selected by God to preach to His people. And when they did, they were often met with resistance. Sometimes they were abused. But they never quit preaching the message that God gave to them. Now, there was an occasion when Jeremiah said that he wasn't going to preach in the name of the Lord anymore. And you consider how he was mocked and abused and cast into a pit that was full of mire. That's very unpleasant. He reached a conclusion that he wasn't going to speak in the name of the Lord anymore. But he said, his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Was Jeremiah a patient man? Yes. And the Bible teaches us in James 5 to look at those great prophets as an example of patience. And then verse 11 of James 5 mentions Job. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. It's hard to imagine what Job went through, but he stands out as a great example of patience. Well, the point is that we can develop patience as a result of looking at positive role models. We mentioned Christ, we mentioned the prophets, and we mentioned Job. And there are many others that we read about in the Bible. One other thing that will help us to develop patience is learn to wait upon the Lord. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, and read the last few verses starting at verse 28. Now keep in mind that Isaiah was trying to call his people, the Jews in the southern kingdom, back to God. He let them know that if they persisted in their sinful ways, they were going to go into captivity. But he recorded some information that would help them during that period of captivity. Well, it came to pass, just as Isaiah and Jeremiah both said. Jeremiah actually saw the captivity come to pass. But Isaiah said it was going to happen. But he recorded some information that was help his people while they were in Babylon. One thing he wrote is this: Hast thou not known? This is verse 28 of Isaiah 40. Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now that period of captivity would last for 70 years. That's a long time. It would be necessary for God's people to learn to wait upon Him. Basically, isn't that patience? In God's due time, He would bring the captivity to an end. He would allow His people to go back to their home, and they'd be able to rebuild the temple that the Babylonians had destroyed. And of course, he said, by the way, one day the Messiah is coming, and you need to be ready for it. Well, these are some matters that relate to patience, and this is all based on the fact that the Christian race must be run with patience. We need to understand what patience is. We need to understand why it's so important for us to develop it and to exercise it. And we need to understand these principles that will help us in developing it. Let's close by looking at James 5, verses 7 and 8. We've already read these verses, but I think it's good for us to conclude with these statements. James 5, verses 7 and 8. Now you do the math. You tell me how many times James tells us to be patient. Verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, I just counted the two. Twice in these verses, James, the inspired writer, instructs us to be patient. But I want you to notice something else he mentioned twice. Two times he referred to the coming of the Lord. Good things come in twos, I'm told. We're told twice to be patient. And no less than two times, James in these two verses mentioned the coming of the Lord. Now that lets us know something. That lets us know how long we must exercise patience until the Lord comes back. But it also gives us another reason why we must exercise patience. The Lord will return one day and give a reward to those who have served him faithfully. That requires patience. God, help us to think about these things this week as we go about our daily lives. No doubt there will be some things that will come our way that will require us to exercise some patience. But remember, when we do so, we're pleasing the Lord, we're complying with his will, and you just never know when you might be providing a good example for someone else.